hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
All right, our next inductee is former University of Georgia, Miami Dolphins, Rams, and Chargers tight end Randy McMichael. Tonight is Randy's 10th time being a part of the show. He's from Griffin, Georgia, which is about 45 miles south of Atlanta. Not only was Randy one of the top 50 football players in the state of Georgia during his high school days, he also lettered in basketball and track. He attended the University of Georgia, where he was a three-year letterman. In 1999, he was named first-team freshman All-American. In 2001, he was named first-team All-SEC. Finished his college career ranked ninth on Georgia's all-time list for receiving yards. Was drafted in the fourth round in 2002 by the Miami Dolphins, and he played tight end in the league from 2002 to 2012. He became the Dolphins' first rookie tight end to start all 16 games. Over the course of his NFL career, he had 426 receptions for 4,539 yards, and he scored 24 touchdowns. You can now hear him on 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta middays on the Andy and Randy Show. He first joined us here on Thursday Night Tailgate back on November 13th of 2014, and we are very excited and honored to induct him tonight into our guest Hall of Fame. Hey, Randy, Chris, and Bob, thanks for being such a great guest to us over the years.
Hey, man. You know what? I was just thinking, I was sitting here when I knew I was going to come on with you guys. First of all, I'm very honored to be inducted to you guys Hall of Fame. You guys are so great. And that is my wife. but no, I just remember the first time I was on you guys' show, and it's like it was out of the league and everything. I was just thinking, like, God, that was so long ago, and it's always been a great time with you guys. And congratulations on year 9. I just do appreciate you guys thinking of me so highly.
Absolutely. We're very honored, Randy. You've been a great friend. I want to start our time with you tonight, Randy. I want to get your thoughts. Well, you know, one of the phrases that, you know, become so attached to you is those damn Dolphins. And your Dolphins, not so damned this year. They certainly played a lot better. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off 8-4. They've got four tough games, you know, remaining on their schedule. But I want to get your thoughts on what you've seen from them so far.
Oh, man. They're playing well. They're playing hard. And you saw that from last year, even though they got off to a slow start last year, and they just played hard. And that was the one thing that I always noticed. You know, I didn't know what to think of Brian Flores when he got the job, but I knew what about Chris Greer, the GM, because I knew Chris from when I was a Dolphin. Chris was a scout that was always late, in there late, grinding and working. And so I was so happy for Chris Greer when he got the head coaching job. But, I mean, I'm just happy that, you know, they're not the most talented team, but they play, don't nobody play harder than the Dolphins. And I know a lot of that has to do with the type of organization, the type of things that Chris Greer and Flo are trying to build down there. Now that we got this rookie quarterback who's playing well, played really good last week. And, you know, they just got to add some more parts. They got to get a little bit tougher inside the trenches. Or, I'm sorry, a little better. They play tough, but, I mean, toughness gets you so far in the NFL. You got to have some talent. And they got to get a little bit more talent in the trenches. But I'm just happy with what I see. And I mean, my damn Dolphins, they might make the playoffs this year.
Were you surprised when they benched Fitzpatrick after, you know, six games to go to Tua? Because Fitzpatrick was playing pretty well. They were 3-3 at the time. Obviously, Tua is the future. But then you've got to see what you got in him, obviously, with being a high first-round draft pick. But were you surprised that they went to him so early?
I wasn't. I think this is the plan all along, and I know Fitzy was I love Mr. Fitzy. We were locker mates in St. Louis, so I love Mr. Fitzy. And he's the ultimate professional teammate. And I mean, it always hurts when you get replaced and everything, but it was only a matter of time before, you know, Tua was going to be the starting quarterback because they had to see what they had in him this year. And, so I wasn't surprised by it. And I thought, you know, this is something that was planned all along that Flo didn't let get out. And I think that might have hurt Fitzy more than anything because he probably didn't know. He knew the change was going to happen this season. I just don't know that he realized when it was going to happen. So I think that was probably the biggest blow for them. But, I wasn't surprised because he needs to get on the football field so they can see what they have as far as the quarterback position, considering the fact that They got two first round picks this year in this upcoming draft, I'm sorry, and there's a boatload of quarterbacks in it.
So, Randy, at 8-4, now, I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule. They got the Chiefs at home this Sunday, followed by a home game, you know, with the Patriots next week, and then they finish with two games on the road at Las Vegas and at Buffalo. So four pretty tough teams, you know, on their schedule. If they were to lose all four, finish 8-8 and out of the playoffs, are you mad and frustrated? Should Dolphin fans be mad and frustrated? or do you got to look at it and say, you know, hey, look, yeah, we were 8-4, but this wasn't ever probably going to be the year that we did this well. We got Tua and everything is kind of pointed towards the future. Or, you know, you have to look at it and say, you know what? You never know what's going to happen in the future, injuries and all that sort of other thing. You got to take advantage. And if they don't do it now, yeah, I'm kind of mad.
You know, one thing I am, I'm always about winning now. I never buy into ahead of schedule or 2 years away. I don't believe in it. I believe if you go out there and play, you play to win. And that's what the Dolphins are doing right now. Yeah, they got a tough schedule, but it's nothing that they can't manage through because of the fact is that I think they're a solid football. I don't know if they're a great football team. They're a solid football team. And you talk about the teams, you know, they got, you said the Chiefs this weekend, and that's going to be a tough one. And, you know, Las Vegas, you don't know what team you're going to get right there. Hell, they should have lost to the Jets last week. So, I mean, I'll be upset they lose. But I won't be like, because they are 8 and they have been playing well. And I don't look at it as a fact of, well, who they've been playing. I mean, you can only play who you line up and beat. And if you lose those teams you're supposed to beat, then they criticize you. But if you beat them, they say you ain't played nobody. So which is it? That's why I said a win's a win. And I don't believe in they're a year away. Or I don't believe in that. I believe if you were out there between those white lines, you're supposed to win no matter who you are.
Bob, questions for Randy?
Yeah, Randy, welcome back and congratulations. It's always great to speak to you. I hope you've been well, my friend.
Yes, sir. I'm great, man. Up here freezing my butt off up here in Colorado. But other than that, I'm
good. Yeah, same here in New England. It's still autumn. Autumn in New England. You know what that's like. But, you know, I want to give a shout-out, Randy, to your high school. You know, I was doing some research before, and I'm saying, Pitch County High School that this guy played for, people don't realize, and Chris will get some enjoyment out of this. Chris, some of these guys that went to that high school, Pete Johnson, Greg Lloyd, our good friend, Jaquez Green, Randy, DeMarcus Robinson, Marcus Robinson. I mean, this is some kind of great lineup, Randy. I mean, is there a sense of great pride with these guys, and do you keep in touch with any of them?
Oh, man, yeah. But it's a prideful thing down there in Fort Valley. That Pete County Trojan, that it's all about – I remember it was my junior year, we coined the phrase 48 minutes of the black hat in the mouth. And it was a phrase that is on the field house when you walk in there. And it's a whole lot of pride down there, man. And there's so many guys that have, you know, paved the way. You know, like you were talking about Greg Lloyd. I remember we played a playoff game. I remember Greg Lloyd came in, they retired his jersey. And I never met Greg. And I remember they retired his jersey. And I just remember Greg Lloyd, he came in, he gave a pregame speech. And I just remember he was this, you know, he said the prayer. No, he was giving a pregame speech. And the last thing I remember Greg Lloyd said, now I want y'all to go out there and I want you to step on their bleeping neck and crack it. Now let's say a prayer. And I just remember it just went crazy. That was one of the funniest things in the world. And, you know, I'm honored because I was, they did retire my jersey also. And It was crazy because I forgot they had retired it. I know I didn't forget, but they retired it. So nobody, and I just remember it was a young man. He ended up going to Clemson. And I remember he calls me out of the blue because my coach, he calls me. He's like, so this young man wants to talk to you about if he can wear your jersey. And I was like, what? I was like, yeah. So you know what I mean? I retired my jersey in 2006. So all these years, nobody's worn that number. And I was just so honored for him to ask me to wear that jersey number. But yeah, it's a lot of pride down there. I mean, always in contention for state championships. Coach Campbell and his staff, they do a great job down there. And the thing about it, fellas, is they start at the park. And that's the thing I didn't know because I went to Peach County. I moved there when I was in 10th grade. And it was something that the offense in high school, they were running peewees up to middle school, up to ninth grade, JV to varsity. So these kids are ingrained in this system they're like 10, 11 years old.
Impressive. And Chris had mentioned, Randy, that your rookie year you played in every game, and the offensive coordinator of those Dolphins was Norv Turner. We've always heard how he's been considered an offensive guru. Was he that, Randy? And how much credit do you give him for making you a better offensive player?
I love Norv. I do. And the things I remember most about Norv in Miami was, I remember when I was drafted, I remember I went down to Miami for my rookie camp, and I was so bad. I mean, I just bad. Ball was hitting me in the face mask, in the back of the head, everything. And so I remember I left, and I went back to Athens to train some more, and I remember I got a call from Norv. And Norv said, and Norv's favorite phrase is, what the blank? That, of everything in life, WTF. That's what Norv, he says that about everything. He calls me and says it to me. And he says, I got all these people down here asking, why do we draft you? What the? And so I remember I took that to heart. And I remember I came back to camp after my rookie year. And I mean, I just took that and I just ran with it. And the one thing he did, he sat me down, he showed me a tape of Jay Nemechek. And he was like, these are the routes I want you to run. You study how Jay runs them, and I want you to run them just like that. And I would study Jay Nemechek running different routes that, because he wanted to get the tight end the ball. And he vouched for me to be the starting tight end, even though I earned the starting tight end. It was like when Dave Wannstedt told me that I was going to be starting, I said, what did Norv think? And he was like, he said, hell no. But he was joking. But he's like, Norv wanted me to be the starting tight end. And I just remember just having so much fun. And then I remember when I was in St. Louis when he was in when he was with the Chargers, and we were meeting up at the 50 yard line. We were talking and everything, and he just asked how my family and everything was going. And he was just like, you know, we need a tight end, even though Gates wasn't ascending, he was still ascending, but everybody knew Gates was gonna be a great one. And so once I left the St. Louis Rams, I was like, I don't even want to play no more. And I just remember I was in Las Vegas, hanging out with the boys, and I get a call, and it's Norv. I'm like, what's up, man? And he's like, what do you think about coming out here? I was like, well, y'all got Gates. He's like, well, in a different role as a blocker, sometime receiver, and a special teams guy. And I just sat back and I thought for a minute, you know, I wouldn't do that for nobody but Norv, you know, because that's how much I love that man. And I love Miss Nance, his wife. I remember his son, Drew. At that time, Drew was the first kid to have my jersey, and you know, back in Miami. So I was like, yeah, man, I'll come out there with the money, right? And so that was my own money, right? I come. And everything worked out. And, I mean, I just couldn't imagine playing for another better man than Norv Turner. And he was just so influential in my life and my career. And I owe so much to that man.
Randy, I want to get your thoughts on your boys at the University of Georgia. You got a team that is consistently at the top of the recruiting classes in the country. I struggle. You know, my wife is a UGA alumni. My in-laws are huge UGA
right.
fans. I look at what you guys, you know, have there year after year. It's just like it seems like there's just something little missing. The Bulldogs can't get over the top. I want to get your thought. What's missing?
We win recruiting all the time. Yes, we do. The problem
yes.
with Georgia is this. We don't. Georgia has just as much talent as those four teams that were number one, and number one, two, three, and four that came out in the college football playoffs on Tuesday. Just as much talent. The one thing that all those guys have, they have an NFL quarterback. Outside of Ian Book. But they have, we need a first round, second round, starting NFL quarterback, caliber quarterback for Georgia. That's the problem with Georgia. That is the problem with Georgia. When you look at, when we get, in those big games. And Kirby has coached better in big games also. But we need that kind of guy that puts pressure on teams consistently from the quarterback position. I think we have everything that we need. I love Todd Monken as offensive coordinator, and I've been enjoying watching what he's been able to do when you got a guy that can throw the ball consistently like a JT Daniels. Georgia has to get consistent play at the quarterback position. I get frustrated every time I see Justin Fields play for Ohio State because he should be the starting quarterback. I love JT.
No doubt.
I never said that Jake Fromm is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. I never said that Justin, I don't know why Justin Fields left Georgia. Or I know why he left because Kirby wanted Jake Fromm to be his quarterback for some reason. But I'll never, ever get over the fact that Justin Fields is not a Georgia Bulldog. Well, I mean, because he should be. And, you know, that I think that is one of the biggest issues that I have is that he's not there. And I don't get frustrated a lot because one thing I don't do, fellas, anymore, I don't give Georgia my soul. I don't give him my heart because they broke my heart when they were supposed to be down in the national championship and we were going to walk the dog on Notre Dame that year. That's another story for another day. And then, you know, but I think if Georgia gets that quarterback position right, we're going to be fine. And that's the biggest thing. We haven't got, and as much as I love Jake Fromm wasn't going to be that dude. You know, we need that dude. We need the guy that you might possibly talk about as a Heisman candidate because of all the talent that's around in Georgia. You talk about recruiting. We're always at the top at everything. And we've had Jacob Eason, Justin Fields, Jake Fromm. We're about to get this dude, this young man, Brock Vandegrift, JT Daniels, a 5-star. We got a 4-star. We had the prospects. That's what I'm saying. We're not recruiting 3-star quarterbacks. We've had multiple 5- and 4-star quarterbacks. They leave and we don't use them right. So until we get that done, we won't get to where we want to go.
But to your point, right? I mean, when Justin Fields came out, because I was surprised that Fields even wanted to go to Georgia because, you know, Fromm is coming off a national championship game, right? And he's still got, you know, years of eligibility left. Like, how was Justin Fields ever going to see the field? And you could just tell, to your point, Kirby was never going to pull Fromm off the field. So I couldn't imagine why Fields wanted to go there to begin with.
Because Kirby was in that still, that young, I don't want to lose the game, let's put it on our defense type of offense, run the football and all that. And you can't do that with Justin Fields. You've got to let his natural ability shine. And Jake Fromm was, I always say that Jake Fromm was safer. He was safer, you know, and it's not that saying that because Jake Fromm helped Georgia win a bunch of football games. Jake Fromm helped us get to the national championship game. Jake Fromm played lights out in that semifinals game against Oklahoma, but he just wasn't going to be that guy to win the championship. But now we should have won the championship because I'll always go by Simmons was onside on that block punt to this day. But, I mean, when you have a wide open fullback and Jake Fromm misses him for a touchdown and all these different things, It goes back to show that, yeah, Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Jake Fromm. But for some reason, and that people must say he couldn't beat out Jake Fromm. Yeah, he could have. He was better than Jake Fromm. Everybody knew that. But it was just a thing where they didn't know how to use him because Kirby's philosophy offensively wasn't where it is now. And if it was where it is now, Justin Fields would be the starting quarterback.
You know, when they played Alabama, and Tua throws the touchdown pass, you know, obviously to win that game.
Why y'all got to bring up bad?
I tell you, I mean, obviously, you know, I felt horrible for my wife and her family. But my next thought after that was, I wonder what's going on in the McMichael household right now. Because I had to imagine you were losing your mind when that happened.
But it was the craziest thing was this. Because all my friends, my boys and their wives came over. And my wife, she'll come down to space every now and then. And I never forget, it was her office Christmas party. I never forget this. It was an office Christmas party, and I was going to leave after the game. I said, baby, I'll be there. I'm leaving after the game, everything. And we're up at halftime. I was like, okay. Now, because I know this, if Georgia wins the championship game, I'm not going to the damn Christmas party for my wife. We're going to party. And so this is my mind. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, oh, my God, we're about to win this game. We're about to win. God, no. And that's all I thought about. I didn't scream. I didn't yell. All I said was, oh, God, no. And I really literally just walked upstairs, got dressed, and called my Uber and took me to the party. And I just, because it was like, you're so close. And then it just, I mean, it was just one of those things where I couldn't even get mad. I couldn't scream or nothing. I just got up and I just went upstairs. I put my clothes on. I even left my friends. They were still down there in the basement, mad and cursing. I just walked upstairs and I went, and it was just, you know, it was a dagger because, you know, we've been so close so many times. And I think that when you look at the programs that the Clemsons, the Bamas, you know, the Ohio State, these teams that win these championships, it's like they don't have those moments like we have, like those heart-wrenching, just put a knife in, just twist it. And because, I mean, you can think about Alabama, the kick six and all those things, but they've won championships before that. It's been damn near over, it's been over 40 years since we've won one. And we were just so close, and that, I think that was the part that hurt the most.
To that end, Randy, when you think about sports in the state of Georgia, city of Atlanta, right? I mean, Bob and I are big Red Sox fans. They exercise the demons. The Cubs exercise the demons. So the Braves, they get to 3-1 in the NLCS, mm-hmm. and then they lose to the Georgia to the brink and lose. The Falcons, a huge lead in the Super Bowl, would lose. What, right. What's the city got to do to exercise the demons?
Man, they got to win. They got to win because I don't believe in curses. And I know you guys know, you've been in this, y'all know this city, that city very well. And it's all about, you know, the curse. They can't do anything. And it just, and you know, on my show on 1990 game, me and Andy, we always talk, and after the Braves lost that game to the Dodgers, and we're like, you know, there ain't no curse, but damn it, don't it feel like it is one? Because for some reason, Atlanta sports can't have nice things. You look at the Super Bowl, the biggest collapse ever. I know they want to talk about the Braves and the Dodgers. Oh, the great Dodgers and the Braves. You know, they were up 3-1. They go, oh, the Braves. They were up 3-1 on the Dodgers. All right, in the World Series. I mean, sorry, in the NLCS. 3-1. They would have beat Tampa. The Braves would have beat Tampa. They're up 3-1. That's why I just don't understand the mentality of when people, oh, they were young. No, Georgia. You look at all the bad things that happen, you're just like, you just don't know. I don't want to call it a curse, but fellas, sometimes you sit back and you're like, well, then what is it? Why can't Atlanta have now? It's a great city, diverse city, fun city. You know, got all the amenities of a big time, but yet the sports teams break your heart. And that's the one thing about doing it radio in Atlanta. And when you take callers, you listen, they all sound the same. Like, damn it, Atlanta. It's just like when you stop to hurt, it's just so crazy. It's so crazy.
Bob, more for Randy?
Yeah, Randy, I just wanted to ask you about the tight end position in the NFL now. And Chris knows that I've always been a huge tight end fan. I think they're the key to teams. And it's still to this day, Randy. I mean, you look at the Patriot teams with Gronk and Brady, and now you look at the Chief teams with Mahomes and Kelce. I mean, the mm-hmm. good teams still win with very, very good tight ends. It just doesn't seem to me that there's as many really good ones in the league anymore. Is this something that teams are just overlooking in drafts? Or I know all the glitter goes to running backs and quarterbacks,
right.
but to
right.
me, these people should be looking to tight ends to get to Super Bowls.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of good tight ends. And Kelce, I mean, he is one of my favorite I've ever watched. And mm-hmm. how crafty and slithery and silky he is and tough. I love him, man. And I love their Waller out of it in Oakland. I love it. First of all, I love his story of how, you know, he overcame his demons to be as good as he is now. And you look at Jared Cook, that's my man right there. Even though he got alligator arms last week in Atlanta, that's still my guy. And I love, you know, Jonnu Smith, the tight end out of, in Tennessee. And I'm watching his Rams game ever. There's so many good players. They're just not getting opportunities like these other guys are because they're not the number one receiver on their teams like Kelce is, like Waller is, and guys like Al Gronk was. And, I mean, you know, I love that Logan Thomas in Washington, how he's developed. I know his family from back in Miami. And, you know, so there's a lot of good players. They're just not those number one guys like Kelce and those guys and George Kittle, who's hurt. And I think what George and Kelce did when they just got their new extensions, I think that brought tight ends up when you look at the money that they're making now. Because they're making money like number two wide receivers now. Now, they won't get no 20 minutes, but they'll be where they are. And I love the fact that that's happening. And you got some big guys like Kyle Pitts out of Florida is going to be a superstar. He does so many great things for mm-hmm. Florida. And I think he's going to be a great player in the NFL. And so I think as the offenses go away from the traditional they've gone away from that traditional number one tight end being an inline guy and he being more of a two guy and you have more of the receiving threat at the one, I think, you know, the position is going to evolve a lot more. But, I mean, I love these young tight ends. Jonnu Smith in Tennessee, he's a stud. I loved him coming out of the draft. He is a guy that gets it done for Tennessee. And so the guys are going to continue to develop and everything. But, I mean, the tight end position, it doesn't get – the hype because we're not drama kings like the, drama queens like the wide receivers. But I mean, we are a position that is needed, like you said, and it's a position that's going to have an influx of young talent as these guys come from college because they're receivers now.
And Randy, I'll ask you what I've asked a lot of guys on this show before. It's about that transition from the NFL to, shall we say, civilian life. You know, you're done,
right.
Usually like yourself, your early 30s, you're done with football. You probably won't ever touch a football again, and you've been doing it
right.
for 25 years, sometimes even more. Did you find
right.
it really, really tough? Was it tough adjusting, and did you have problems with life in general, as so many guys do when they leave the game?
I didn't, because I was ready to go. I think that was my biggest
okay.
thing. I was just ready to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was ready to go after year 10. And I just remember, sitting down like with Norv, and, you know, they were like, you know, we're going to draft a young tight end this year. Could you come back? Just give us 1 year. We'll take care of you during the summers and everything. We just need you back for this one more year. And I thought about it. But my transition, it wasn't bad because, you know, we were living in San Diego and, you know, I wasn't going to live in San Diego. We still had our house in Florida, but the wife, you know, she wanted to move to Atlanta, you know, and I have an older son and daughter there. And so she's like, well, let's still be with the kids and everything. We just had our child. And so we decided to move to Atlanta. And it wasn't hard because, you know, the first year out the league, you know, I'm sitting there watching football. But one thing we did more than, you know, because of it wasn't, I was able to go to my kids' games. I was able to go to my daughter's planes and be that kind of dad. And me and my wife, we were able to travel the world and all that. And then once the first year was over and I'm just sitting home, you know, drinking beer, playing golf, not giving a damn, getting fat. She's like, so what the hell are you going to do now? And I was like, I'm cool with what I'm doing. And she's like, no, you can't do this, Randy. You got to find something to do. And I tell people, I try to do the coaching thing. And I just don't, I love working with young players. I don't want to be a coach. I just didn't, because I couldn't deal with, okay, here it is. I don't like other people's kids that much. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, as far as coaches, because these kids think they know every damn thing. I'm like, I played in this game. How you going to tell me what to do? And then you're like having to go check classes. I'm like, no, I ain't got time for this, man. And so I was like, so, you know, I sat down and I happened to be at an NFL veteran, like an NFL PA function in Atlanta. And I saw my main man, Algie Crumpler. And Algie was there. He's like, well, what you going to do? I was like, man, I'm just chilling. He's like, nah, man, you got to do something. And so he's like, well, I was like, well, I saw you doing this radio thing, Algie. He's like, yeah, it's cool. So he gives me the number to Terry Fox, who's the program director over 99 The Game. And I called Terry. And me and Terry, we played phone tag for about 6 months. He said, why don't you come see him? I went down to saw him. And he said, do you like radio? I was like, well, it's cool. I mean, you know, what you do? All you do is talk into a mic. This is what I'm thinking. You know, because I've always been on the other side. And so I sit back and, you know, talk to my wife. And I said, well, why don't you go in for an audition? They called me and said, why don't you come in for an audition? They put me in my first audition in the middle of baseball season on the afternoon drive with Dukes and Bell. So I'm like, hold on. Y'all want me to come on the afternoon drive, talk about baseball, which I know baseball, but I don't know baseball. And so I did that, and I was like, you know what, babe, this is pretty cool. And so I continued to just work at it, but I didn't want to do it as a full-time thing because I didn't want to take the time away from my kid. And so, you know, I kept doing it. I was loving it. They gave me a college football show, and I wow, it's so cool. And I worked 4 hours a day, whatever. And then, you know, it's been great. And then, you know, once the opportunity to come to me and ask me if I want to do it full-time, and it took me like a week to decide because I was like, I'm enjoying working part-time at radio and then still being able to get to my kids' games and spend time with my wife and do all these things. And, you know, she's like, man, if you don't take that damn job and get off our damn couch, you're taking the job. And so I took it, and now I have my midday show. It's one of the highest-rated shows in Atlanta. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun, and I enjoy doing it, man. But the thing with it, and I'll always tell people this, and I talk to a lot of guys who, you know, get out the league, you know, the plan thing, it sounds so good. But the first plan you got to do is you got to have that monetary plan. Because I think more and more, you can't continue to think you can live the lifestyle that you wanted to live, that you lived when you were getting those six-figure checks every week. You know, and so my thing was that I planned for my retirement after year 7. You know, I was like, okay, I don't need this car. I don't need this. I don't need these things. So I got rid of all those things because I wanted to live comfortably until I passed away. I want to, you know, and that was all my plan and everything. And, And I think that's the biggest thing that you have to do is not necessarily what's your plan for as far as a job after you're done. What's your plan monetarily? You know, because, you know, I made a lot of money. I made some nice money while I played. Now, I didn't make Tom Brady and that kind of money, but I made enough money that if I don't have to work anymore, my wife don't have to worry about the kids, mama, nobody. But it's all about how you monetize that when it's getting close to the end, because some players don't see the end coming. I saw it coming. I knew it was the end was coming. When you watch tape, you're not that same guy running past people. And you're getting caught. Oh, damn, Randy, that's you. Yeah, but it might be time to shut it down. And people don't know and insist that. That's why you see so many guys that are struggling when they get out the league for money and all these things, because they kept thinking that these checks and everything was going to come, and it doesn't. And so I think that's my biggest thing that I would tell people is that, yeah, have a plan for a career, whatever. But the biggest thing you got to do is you got to plan monetarily for what you're going to do financially, take care of your family once them checks ain't coming.
Randy, before we let you go, you talked about your show. Remind our listeners about how they can listen to you, plus also stay in touch with all the great things you're doing by following you on social media as well.
Oh, well, you can always catch me from 10 to 2. Andy and Randy being my main man, Andy Bunker. We do the midday show. Have a lot of fun. You know, it is a show. It's all about sports, but it's all about culture. We have a whole bunch of fun. You know, our biggest thing is don't get fired today. That is our motto. Let's not get fired today. And, you know, you can always catch me on my Twitter, RandyMac81, man. And you know, it's just a lot of fun. I enjoy it. You know, I'm just having so much fun. Like I said, we're on vacation right now up in the Colorado mountains, and you know, it's cold, and the kids are in the back room, so they're trying to be quiet so I can do this, because they're blessed, their things ready to go out and everything. But you know, before I go, and I know, you know, I just want to thank you guys, because I do remember back that I remember I was sitting outside when I did the first time I was on you guys' show, and it was just so much fun. And I just appreciate Chris. I just love every Sunday. I wait for that tweet from you and everything, and I just do appreciate you guys so much, man. And you know, it's a blessing to know you guys, and I just appreciate you so much.
Well, the appreciation goes right back to you, my friend. We can't thank you enough for being generous with your time over the years, all your insights, all your sayings, those damn Dolphins and all of that. You're a true treasure to us, Randy. And we are very proud to have you now as a part of our guest Hall of Fame.
Chris and Bobby mean so much, man. I do appreciate it, brothers. And, you know, I ain't got to say it because y'all already know me. Anytime y'all need me, I'm there for y'all.
We appreciate that, Randy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family, Randy. We look forward to the next time.
All right, guys. Y'all stay safe. Wear your damn mask. All right, there. All right. It ain't going away. Y'all have fun. Y'all stay blessed. Have a happy holiday.
Take care,
you
sir.
You too, Randy. Take care. That's the great Randy McMichael. Bob, it's certainly, you know, no surprise that his show is the highest rated in the market, and he is certainly sought after. He's so much fun. Every time, you know, he is part of the show, I smile from ear to ear, and I laugh, and we learn a few things. We gain his insights. He's fantastic. I love that guy.
As entertaining as they come, Chris, and as you know, a bunch of our friends are similar to Randy, and they don't hold back. You know, they speak their mind, and they make a lot of sense, but we have a lot of fun at the same time. And that's a great combination to have, and that's why he's successful. But don't ever forget how good of a football player he was, because he was incredible.
Yes, he was. We've got our next inductee of the night, former BC Lions wide receiver Marco Iannuzzi, hanging online. We're going to get to Marco on the other side of this real quick station break.